Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 25th of March. Bright and shiny outside, and it's kind of shiny inside. We see all this brass in here. What is going on, sir?
That was a reference to my bald head that just got cleanly shorn.
No.
Or my bald head.
I would never reference that one, sir, but thanks for just that consideration.
Hey, I just took it as a negative right away, so sorry.
Paul Kraft is alongside, and he brought in a fellow warrior.
Yes. Ooh. Captain Sean Morris joined me this morning.
The boss.
Drug him out of bed and made him put on a uniform and come in.
Yeah, I did notice you both are wearing blues. We got a press conference or something going on this afternoon or what?
I just like to coordinate.
Oh, yeah.
No, our blue uniform has been the primary uniform wear for patrol, and you know I've been doing more patrol lately.
I see some comments coming.
I'm just stunned.
Well, you haven't seen our tans in a while, have you?
Nor your tan lines. Thank you very much. Leave it alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Move on.
Be careful
all right.
What you poke, because I'm looking at your uniform
exactly.
Of the day.
Yeah, well, the morning. The morning. Are you guys ready?
Ready,
for our question?
Yes.
All right, let's see. Where are we here? Oh, boy, that's a really long one, so we're not going to do that one. It's about trick-or-treating, but it's a full page. We're not going to do that one.
Keep that for Halloween.
All right. ever wonder why a rabbit's foot is considered lucky?
Ooh. I have wondered, but I don't know.
I don't know why. Right. Yeah, the answer to that question is yes.
Other than for the rabbit, of course. Okay. The idea that rabbits are special animals dates back to Western Europe before 600 BC, a time when spirits were believed to inhabit the bodies of animals, and when humankind itself was believed to have descended from certain sacred animals. The Celts, an ancient race living in Europe at the time, believed that rabbits to be especially sacred for two reasons. First, the fact that rabbits spend so much time underground led the Celts to believe that they were communicating with underground spirits who were thought to inhabit the animals' bodies. And second, because rabbits are so prolific, it was believed that those spirits intended rabbits to be the symbols of health, prosperity, and procreativity. Therefore, any part of the rabbit was believed to be lucky. But since the rabbit's feet are small and easily dried out, it was this part of the animal that most people carried for luck.
Interesting.
Wow.
The rabbit head wouldn't have fit. And the ears. Yeah.
Let the fluffy little tail.
I bet you fluffy little tail after a couple of years isn't quite so fluffy anymore.
Okay.
Particularly with certain cuisines that tend to highlight rabbit in Europe. Probably don't want to give up. Yeah. Hadn't thought about the food angle, had you?
No.
No. First time in a long time on that one.
Oh, we eat rabbit in Louisiana as well.
So rabbits are lucky. What about the...
I was seeing more Hasenpfeffer, right?
German, yeah, sure.
Yeah. You guys eat anything in Louisiana, I've been told.
It's fairly true. We'll try anything.
If it moves, it's edible. Mm-hmm.
Give it a shot.
Oh. So what, Sean, brings you in this morning, other than Paul?
Well, I just wanted to come in and, you know, we have an opportunity to talk about some traffic safety and some different things like that. I know Distracted Driver Awareness Month is coming up next month, so they thought it'd be a good opportunity to, you know, kind of talk about a few things.
I was gonna,
safety-wise.
I wanted to ask you guys, there's been some discussion about putting in a signal light on F Street.
Yes.
Just into the county to slow down the traffic. Got to love the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Very creative.
Yeah, yeah. And kind of right to the point.
Creatively designed.
Yes. What I understand is that engineering is the first thing. You know, you got enforcement, okay, but engineering is really the critical thing for changing, putting in stop signs, stop lights, yields versus full stops, things of that nature.
Yes.
Do you guys get involved in that process, or are you just the enforcement branch only and they really don't talk to... I guess traffic officers to find out what your guys' opinions are about certain intersections and driving patterns.
So, our role in that would be providing information on prior incidents, maybe at the location. So, I've been to several of the meetings for that group and with concerns over that F Street, F and Oak intersection there. So, there were some design changes made And then, oh, looking,
and by the way, for clarity, Oak and F Street probably would be a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Just a. I thought Mr. Our PR guy.
Does it, yeah, grab attention the same way?
No, I think more the lawsuit part.
Right. So, you know, when those changes originally happened, it's been a few years ago, maybe now, a couple of years, then they needed to look at what, how many collisions have you had during a certain time frame? What were the collisions before that time, the factors of those? Speeding through the area. What kind of statistics do we have that we can share with county, Caltrans, the entities that are looking into the engineering portion of that? There have been a fair share of crashes there. Luckily, we haven't had something very recent, but we've also been able to provide extra enforcement and patrol through the area with the knowledge of that being a problem area. So that, you know, gets us there.
Nothing pure, other than pure coincidence that there's a golf course there.
That's off duty.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Sean, I'm sure in your history you've dealt with a lot of situations traffic related, and it goes from logic to emotion pretty darn quick. In something like this where it's more of a thought process and dragging things out and you know, the studies and the research, have you found that that ramps up the emotion, or does that compound it because people are frustrated at how long it takes to come to a decision?
So I think part of what you, I think, are alluding to is there's a education portion of, you know, this whole collaborative process. And I think, you know, we are but one, you know, stakeholder in this entire process. And so we work with, you know, the city, we work with Caltrans, we work with other traffic safety stakeholders to ensure that we get, you know, look at the entire picture. So I think that part of the frustration level is, you know, us educating the public and saying that, hey, you know, they're, you know, you're not the only ones that are out there driving. You know, we have other considerations and things that we have to take into account. And if we all work together, then we can, you know, solve the problem.
I would think that the solution that was put out that's in place now is more problematic than anything else. You got people standing in the middle of the street. Okay, particularly little people. And then you got you guys come ripping through, or the fire trucks that are even wider come through, and they've got, you know, a restricted or constricted area to shoot through without having real problems.
Right.
This has got to be a temporary solution, huh? What's there now?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Their decisions that they're making for the redesign and safety in that area is still ongoing and evaluating, so.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the guys from the CHP. Sean, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are in the area, what do you see are some of the things that aren't challenges that you kind of thought would be when you came to town?
That is a great question. What did I think the things were not challenges?
Other than a certain staff member who's within proximity.
Yeah. You know, maybe, you know, ensuring, you know, coming from a large, you know, metropolitan area and, you know, coming from headquarters, you know, I worked in the Bay Area primarily for 14 years before, you know, heading up north. Probably things that, you know, maybe you know, this, the volume of traffic and different things like that, you know, and, you know, clearly not an issue. You know, things are much slower up here, which is, you know, it's not a bad thing at all. It's really good. And I think I tell people all the time that I was very pleasantly surprised. And it wasn't that I was expecting anything bad at all. It's just that, you know, just your assumptions of what you think things are when you get up here is just, it's different, but a very good, pleasant surprise, like I said. So
yeah, I would suspect if you were in the Bay Area all the time, you would have a certain prejudice to the boonies. And either nothing goes on there.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously things go on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff up here.
Yeah, but it's different kinds of stuff.
Right.
And I think that's probably, you know, right, when you talk to your buddies back down there trying to tell them.
It's a different kind of busy.
Yeah. What was the last tree you had to haul off the highway?
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, a rock slide is cut off, you know, the one. Like, wow. Okay.
What's going through your head now, Paul? I mean, something is, because you got a smile on this.
Oh, it just made me think about, you're talking about rock slides and trees down, and I started doing some of our programs in a makeshift kind of way with schools through Zoom now. So I was talking to driver's ed class yesterday, and that was one of the big things that came up was for new drivers and watching out for hazards on the roadway. And we were talking about the amount of issues that we have here and how different they are from like a more city or urban area. So the curves in the road that run alongside our rivers and the ocean here and the mountainsides and ravines, the rocks that suddenly appear in the roadway along with trees, trying to educate them on those hazards.
But you're telling about the moving trees that kind of leap out in front of the car?
They do. I'm telling you. Sometimes they move on their own. Well, they always move on their own. So.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Somebody's not up there throwing trees down on the road.
Yeah.
What's a bigger problem, slow traffic or fast traffic?
Oh, it depends on where you're driving and what the weather's like.
Well, yeah, very true. But, I mean, it's both an issue, right? I mean, it's, you know, and it is dependent on the situation, but they can both be very problematic.
Yeah, it's interesting, the frustrations people will get behind a slow driver. And then somebody deciding that they're going to practice their downhill skiing abilities in their car.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you're talking about the slalom. I like
Yeah, going back and forth at high speed. And if you're not going at least within 5 miles an hour of them, they get excited.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Is there a consistent response when you guys pull over, like a fast driver or a slow driver? There's got to be like the top two or three things that people will say, not the weird things that you guys remember, but the routine stuff. What do people say when that happens?
You know, it wasn't me. I wasn't paying
attention.
Wait a minute.
You got pulled over and you say it wasn't me?
Oh, yeah.
That would go.
You get that all the time.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't me. We were the only two cars on the freeway. What do you mean it wasn't you?
People panic and they don't even know what they're saying sometimes.
I actually had someone tell me that before. It was a long time ago.
Oh, that's funny.
heading back to the barn and, you know, at the end of the shift, and this is one car speeding probably about 90 miles an hour. I pull a car over. And I'm like, hey, I stopped you for speeding. You know, good evening. You know, I pulled you over for speeding. He's like, oh, it wasn't me. I was like, dude, you're the only one out, only other car out on the freeway. It's me and you.
You mean somebody blew past you?
Yeah.
And you were going 90? Yeah. I didn't see that one. Didn't see the flames.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Did he laugh?
No.
Oh, it was locked down serious.
It wasn't me. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, sit tight. I'll be right back.
So he didn't Jedi mind trick you?
No.
Cause you to, like, question
this
at
is
all?
Not the car you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, right. It's a good try, though. I mean, adding humor into a stop can help add some levity to it. And
I would start laughing. You know, and I'm sure the guy either would okay, or a real hard attitude.
Yeah. I've had those
I'm
before,
not actually
too,
writing you this ticket either.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had those before where, you know, they try and you go, hey, nice try, man. Okay, you got me. You know. That's pretty funny.
Normal,
yeah.
Yeah. And what about the folks driving slow? Do they tend to also be aware that they're driving slower and causing traffic, or just kind of oblivious to what's going on around them?
My experience is that mostly oblivious. It's like, hey, you know, you're on the freeway. You got to go with, you know, the speed limit is 65 and, you know, they're doing 45 or 50 or something like that.
Right, right.
So
yeah, a couple of things I would say that go along with that, too, with slow speed driving is to, one, that could be a sign of an impaired driver. Mm-hmm. So it may be, may cause us to make contact with them, to talk to them. But I think the other biggest time we see that would be along like 299 or 36, slower moving drivers, not familiar with the area, driving under the speed limit, and cars start to pile up behind them from more local drivers that are used to the road, familiar with it, and right. feel that they can drive.
Well, that's why they have these things called turnouts.
Correct. Yes.
So other on, encourage them other than those. On 395. Talk about that one during the break. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with the boss, Mr. Morris. See, I don't have to do the rank thing. Not like Mr. Kraft, huh? Yeah. Huh?
I'll take it. It's
from
better than what
California
my wife calls me.
So. Yeah. Well, today she might call you Fluffy. I don't know. You know, it looks like you're expecting rain or heavy snow.
Commenting
or
on weight
drifts.
Gain.
No, I'm looking at layering here. I mean, it's like you're...
It's just one of those mornings where it felt damp and chilled to the bone. It's cold. Yeah, I feel toasty. You have it nice and warm in here, so I'm feeling just right now.
And if we get a cold snap, you're ready.
Yeah. No drizzle on my uniform.
Gee, it's warm enough in here. Some of us could wear shorts and not have any kind of an issue at all. You're like Tundra Boy.
I'm warm enough for the both of us.
I get cold easy, so I'm actually surprised I don't have on another outer jacket or something.
Well, maybe it's the radiation from the transmitter. Yeah. So, Sean, you said next month was distracted driver?
Yes.
Not an encouragement, but
no.
A discouragement
awareness.
Thereof?
Distracted driver awareness month.
How prevalent is it?
I believe it's very prevalent. I think, you know, with technology the way it is now, cell phones, you know, it's just very easy for people to, you know, look down, messing around with their radio or talking to someone else in the car, you know, a piece of technology or something, you know, not just otherwise not paying attention to what you're doing when you're driving. And, you know, it, you know, as we've seen, as what we see on a regular basis, it causes some very significant problems, you know, and some tragedies. And so, you know, as we roll into April, it's, you know, a good time to take a moment to think about what you're doing when you're behind that car. I mean, think about it. It's a 4,000-pound vehicle traveling at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have been hanging around the quick movers, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well,
you say 80 is your first speed limit.
Well, you know, those get our attention.
Right, a little
definitely
late to
get our attention. Ooh. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So, you know, we try. Our folks are out there, you know, looking for those, you know, fast drivers and distracted drivers and the slow moving drivers.
Well, you guys, I'm sure you remember the old days when they would have announcers. And they would start to show the impacts of alcohol, the drink every, 15 minutes, every half hour, whatever it was, and after a couple of hours, what was going on,
right.
I get behind the wheel kind of thing.
Right.
I wonder if there's some analogies with 25 miles an hour. Okay. Nobody drives 25, right? Okay. What is the physical impact of a car hitting somebody at 25? And to do that,
yeah.
You know, not necessarily the... every 15 minutes drill, but something similar to that is an educational thing for the kids, because you are 25 and everybody kind of giggles, right?
Yeah.
okay, let's see what happens at 25 or at 15, yeah. Let alone 30, 40 years
right.
or above.
I think the other thing, especially with distracted driving, is your perception and reaction time. So if you're not paying attention and then all of a sudden you look up, you know, it's going to take that much longer and that, you know, that much more distance in order for you to slow down, stop, or try to avoid whatever that obstacle is that's in your way.
There's a good way to think of it, too. So a vehicle traveling down the road 60 miles an hour, looking down at your cell phone, you typically take about 3 seconds to look away at your phone. And in that 3 seconds that you're driving blindfolded, you're traveling the distance of a football field. So try doing that. You know, put a bunch of people out on a football field, put a blindfold on, and drive 100 yards down the field. What are the odds that you're going to make it through safely without driving off the field or crashing into someone?
Or something hasn't changed.
And yeah. Should I caution that we are not saying to do that? We're just
absolutely not. Theoretical?
Theoretically.
Theoretically. Yeah, another drill, huh?
But I believe that's something that everybody can close their eyes and picture. You
yes.
can imagine that. And if we have 10 drivers out of, you know, 20 that are driving through the safety corridor doing that, definitely not safe. So we do take the opportunity because of, not that it's not important every month, but for April leading up to graduations and summer vacations in the in the months following that, we put extra effort, grant money, into the extra enforcement that's going to be going on. So not only will we have our office and every CHP office reinforcing that enforcement to officers, but there'll be extra and additional enforcement out there, different additional education. So the opportunity like now to speak with you, doing other like Facebook posts and social media posts and things, getting the word out there and spreading that message, that'll be a time for us to really reinforce all that.
Sounds like a press release.
Really, you're always offering for me to do some
for additional information. Call.
Yeah.
Out on the highway is one thing. Yeah, if you've got you're traveling, let's say on 80 at 80, and there's nobody, literally, you can't see anybody for 3 miles in front or back. Okay, that's one thing, and you got three lanes across. It's another thing if you're driving 30 in town. I wouldn't think that speed is that much of a dependent or a contributor to distraction. I would think there's probably more distraction in town just because there's more traffic in town.
Right.
And you're making smaller turns and you got less wiggle room and more people coming at you from different directions. And then, you know, here comes the soccer ball across the street.
So you mentioned earlier about, you know, when I transitioned up here and to think about things that I didn't think would be an issue that, you know, are probably more of a thing that I need to think about. And that is pedestrians and bicyclists. And so I think, you know, you bring up a really good point. You know, a portion of the 101 goes through the city of Eureka. And so, you know, we as the Highway Patrol, you know, we partner with the city of Eureka and with the Eureka Police Department with, you know, traffic safety with bicyclists and vehicles because we utilize that corridor to get to the southern part of the county. So, yeah, that's a really big deal for us, too. So
I would have thought, as one of the surprises, the amount of shopping cart transportation devices that there are, that would have been a big kind of shocker. Apparently not, huh?
No.
You must hang out at malls. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Morris and Paul Kraft from the Highway Patrol out of Arcata. Guys, those bicycles that have engines on them, or I guess now some skateboards do too, are those things licensed vehicles or are they bicycles?
You mentioned it during the break, and I was just thinking to myself, please don't ask me about that. So Here's yes. I mean, so there are many different.
I know they're expensive. That's about all that I know.
Yeah. Well, we can agree on that. They're very expensive.
Yeah.
There are requirements or defining lines between each of those that have different requirements on whether there's helmets, whether you need to have a license, where it can be operated, and all that. So we have a guide at the office, and we try to go through it. So anytime somebody has a question about that, I get in depth with them. We talk to them about how many wheels it has. Are there pedals? Can it be powered by the pedal and the engine? Is it less than 50 cc's? Can it go over 35 miles an hour? And so DMV updates their website.
35 is a demarcation, huh?
Typically, yeah, depending on some other features. It can be an and or an or when it comes to the setup
on
there.
So like the scooter things that
the skateboards, the ones they stand up on, those are all there may be a county requirement for helmets and stuff on that, but when you get into bicycles, mopeds, motorized bicycles, motorcycles and what's the other one, the
mopeds,
thank you, those all have different descriptions and
I thought you were talking about a beefed up segue.
So my point with that would be, yes, some of them require helmets, some of them can't be ridden on the roadway, some can, and we would need to speak in each person individually. We can help define and guide them into.
I suspect when you buy it, there's some kind of a caveat.
Not always.
Not always.
Really?
People are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's real no requirement.
From the store, not private to private.
The person buying it could probably, you know, get that information from the seller, but in most cases, they just, you know, you want somebody to buy something, you tell them whatever you want to get them to buy it, right? It's their responsibility to ride it safely and properly, right?
Yeah.
We get that more often.
All right, let me throw you a
curveball
if you're excited about this one. The golf carts.
Uh-huh.
You know, in some communities, golf carts are on. I've always thought that if I was doing more just driving around or we were located downtown, why would I be driving the truck around? I mean, just either that or those little egg car things that drive around.
There's certain requirements that have to be met for that, and that it has to be particularly speed posted there. It has to be the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. The carts have to be there's certain requirements for that as far as the licensing and lights and licensing for that, and it has to be designated as golf cart community.
Oh! So the community has to have a designation.
Now, there's a difference between the golf cart that's been made legal and then like the gyms and the electric carts that are more of a vehicular.
More designed for out on the roads, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
Hopefully
us.
Hopefully you weren't able to totally prepare for this show.
Keep me on my toes.
Keep us on our toes.
See everybody tomorrow.